Welcome to the Curious Tech Podcast. This is episode 134 for October 4th, 2020, Pixel Perfect. My name is Hobie Henning. I'm joined this evening by Devin Rizzo, Pixel Rizzo, and Aubie Henning. How are you?
I'm pretty good.
Does your cat have enough meows?
Pixel is in a wet food coma because I made him custom wet food for his birthday.
How old is the furball?
The furball turned 4 on Wednesday.
That's impressive that you've kept something like another living entity alive that long.
I'm really impressed that I have kept a living entity alive for 4 years.
He is a good fluff ball, though.
Probably doesn't help that when I drop him, he lands on all 4 feet.
Does he? Is he that like graceful?
Normally he is that graceful that he can land on his feet. Because he has been dropped on multiple occasions.
Yes, my buddy is awkward, but he has like a good like self preservation like instinct to him. So
he so avoids
harm. Oh yeah. I mean I do have that weird superpower of I am incredibly awkward, but somehow my like survival instincts kick in to prevent myself from killing myself constantly.
Whereas half of my left leg is currently purple. Pro tip, don't fall off ladders.
Oh, man. So we got lots of googly news this week, and actually this is definitely Techtober. For sure.
And it's really weird. It was like the shortest Google event I've ever witnessed. And I missed the entire thing because of a fire drill.
Well, I mean, I'm kind of okay with it. It was short and sweet, and they didn't like wax poetically about stuff. And I mean, I think it was fine.
I don't know. I typically love I.O. because it's like the right amount of time and they make it fun.
Mm-hmm. I mean, this was definitely closer to the fun spectrum of like not a lot of technical bits, mind you. But I mean, I feel like the biggest like strength of like the Google Pixel stuff and the Nest stuff has always been the software experience anyway. Like the hardware has always been kind of like vanilla or boring or middling.
Yeah.
So they really made more of a case during the Google event this week of like, hey, here's the cool stuff that it can do for you.
Mm-hmm.
So we're gonna get into that, but let's start with completely unrelated news before rolling into all the Google news.
Minecraft is coming to Smash.
There was a lot of Minecraft news. They announced a big like cave update that comes out next year. And a few days before that, Minecraft Steve, Alex, Enderman, and the zombie is coming to Smash.
All right, so that is part of the DLC, and they should be available as players now.
No. Minecraft Live was Saturday, which was yesterday, per this recording. I think it comes out later this month. It's been very nebulous.
When does Fighters Pass Volume 2 come out?
This
is going to be in 2021.
No, October 13th. According to Engadget, Minecraft characters come to Super Smash Bros. Ultimate on October 13th.
According to Polygon, Minecraft characters come to Super Smash in the Fighter's Pass that comes out December 31st, 2021.
Okay. When was the Polygon story published?
Okay. I'm reading a thing that's bad. This was in January.
Okay. Yeah. Minecraft, Engadget was October 3rd. So Yeah, you'll be able to play as Minecraft Steve and Alex and Enderman and what do you call it? Creeper. No, not Creeper.
Zombie.
Wait. Didn't it used to be called Creeper?
Is there a difference?
Oh, yeah. Well, Creeper is the thing with, like, the four legs and the no arms and it explodes. The zombie is like the human, but he's a zombie. I haven't actually watched the keynote. I need to watch. I kind of watched like a little bit of the trailer, but apparently Sakurai did not want to, which is the director of Smash Brothers, wasn't super excited to have Minecraft in Smash, mainly because it is a huge tech. It is really difficult to animate. So I think he was like, sometimes you have someone in Nintendo corporate that comes and leans over my desk and looks down at me with his glasses and go, you must put Minecraft in Smash Brothers. And don't get me wrong, like I think Sakurai loves Smash Brothers, but at the same time this was a big challenge to try to make it look right within the world of Smash Brothers.
Yeah, it makes sense.
So I'm here for, like, Blocky Kirby, though. Did you see Blocky Kirby?
I did not.
Oh, hold on. I sent you, like, five different things about Minecraft Kirby. Okay. Check your Telegram real quick. Let us record Devin's live reaction to Minecraft Kirby.
I don't like it.
You don't want to protect him?
No, I want him to go back to being fluffy and round. I don't want a low poly version of Kirby.
I mean, that could be another thing for you to 3D print. October 13th.
I don't know. I'm one of the few people on the planet that does not enjoy Minecraft.
fair enough. I find it relaxing, but I don't play it very often. So,
see, I find it kind of stressful. It's too open concept for me.
Devin likes her life on rails, so the idea of having absolute freedom scares Devin.
There's no like objective. There's no competitive aspect. There's no like.
You make your own rules.
Yeah, that bothers me.
You make your own game.
Yeah, that kind of bothers me.
Okay. Speaking of something with more rules to it, Minecraft Dungeons is getting crossplay support. So, I have yet to play Minecraft Dungeons because I need to acquire friends to play Minecraft Dungeons, but maybe one day I will get to play Minecraft Dungeons. So I kind of love the idea. It's like a less violent, less doesn't require as much of you version of Diablo.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, my camera is having real focus problems tonight. I don't know why. Okay, I'll just remain blurry for the rest of the podcast. Okay.
All right, so Disney Plus is rolling out Group Watch, which means you can watch Mandalorian with your friends in real time, and up to 7 people can join you. Quit playing with your camera. I don't care if you're blurry because I'm not looking at you. I literally have Zoom minimized.
There we go. Okay, I'm not blurry anymore. Sorry. The Brio that I borrowed for work is currently having focus problems today. Anyway, do you have to use the web app to do the Disney Plus viewing, I take it? Or does it work with like the iPad?
Web, mobile, smart TVs, connected TV devices.
Oh, interesting. We may have to try that one evening and Mandalorian's at the end of the month, right?
Mandalorian does come in less than 30 days.
Very nice. This is the way.
this is the way.
Okay. So, interesting Google News. I don't know. Did this come out like as like separately from the Google Google event? But anyway,
this came out on a Google blog like at the same time, but it didn't get any like airtime in the keynote.
Okay, it didn't come out until. Interesting. Okay, so Google is coming out against beauty modes and cameras.
Yeah. Essentially, they are trying to help people with their mental health and not distorting their selfies.
Interesting.
It still has the face retouching options, but it is by default turned off.
Okay, so that it's people clearly want this feature, but they are turning it off by default on their own products. Huh, interesting. I almost wish they would have like an API that you could like detect if a camera app is doing like face smoothing. Mm-hmm. It's like I've been hearing a lot of reviews like with some of the Samsung phones recently that are like can't figure out if they're doing face smoothing or not.
Yeah.
Like Samsung is like really bad about making your face look like a potato. Or not a potato, what do they call it? Is it what is it? Is it what smooth fruit?
What?
I can't. I don't know. There have been a few Samsung phones, like the Galaxy Note, the Verge has complained about the really aggressive face smoothing that Samsung does. So,
mm-hmm.
Even Zoom has like face smoothing features, which maybe we need with all of the face mask acne that all of us have been developing lately.
Mm-hmm. I'm so over masks. Me, like wearing a mask does not bother me. The associated acne that comes with it. It's driving me nuts.
Yeah, it's forcing me to get better about like washing my face at night because even I am not impervious to that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So if you have a Google TV, I should have really reorganized all of these show notes.
You said you were going to.
I'm sorry, I didn't. But anyway, if you got... You get the new Chromecast that we will talk about later in the show for free if you pay for 1 month of YouTube TV. But this is only for first-time subscribers. Also, Google, I got the email as well. If you are a YouTube Premium subscriber, they're giving some YouTube Premium subscribers basically discounts on the Nest Home Hub. Which is their 7-inch smart screen, smart hub thingy, and you can get it for $50. So certain people are getting it. It's rolling out. Check your email. I may do it because I really like my Nest Home Hub. Oh, man.
One second.
All right. Next up is some Stadia updates. Basically,
So the controllers now support USB-C headphones, which is something they said they were going to do at launch, but haven't. They can now do that. And Stadia itself has crowd choice for decision making if you're streaming.
So what is that exactly?
So when you are streaming your game, it will automatically, like when you come to a dialogue box or like you have to pick like box A, box B, box C, it will let the people in the crowd vote for you.
Oh, okay. So like...
It makes gameplay a little more interactive.
Oh, okay. So Baldur's Gate 3 will be the second game to support this feature.
Mm-hmm.
And then the first game is symmetric survival horror game called Dead to Daylight.
And then soon will be Human Fallout, Super Hot, Tomb Raider, and Celeste and Jotun.
Interesting. I mean, these are like the extra features that everyone got excited about with Stadia. So it's good to see them like starting to implement them now.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, I could see this being really fun, like watching a stream and everyone like taking a vote, you know, I mean, almost like a more streamlined version of Let's Play, I guess.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's very cool. I like that. The Stadia controller. Oh, headsets and headphones. Okay, so it's just, so it also supports microphone in as well.
Yeah.
Oh, good. I haven't actually used a Stadia controller, so I don't know how good they are.
All right, so the next line or next player in the Google Nest Hubs is the new Nest Audio. This was leaked in a Google commercial a while back. It is kind of, it's a portable smart speaker. It's kind of in between the Google Home Max and the Google Nest Mini. And it replaces the original Google Home.
It doesn't have its own battery though, right?
I'm pretty sure it does.
Are you sure? I didn't get that. I think you still plug it into a wall.
I don't know. I like the shape. It's rectangular.
I think you plug it into the wall. There, I don't see any indication that there was a battery on this thing.
Oh wait, on the commercial, it was able to be carried around.
I'm very confused now because I don't remember them mentioning that at all.
I don't remember it either, but I know in the commercial it definitely was passed around a bunch.
Let's see. Yeah, I'm not seeing any indication of it having a battery on the spec page or the or even in the Verge article that we're reading.
Okay. I don't
so,
know.
Anyway, it is a successor to the original Google Home speaker. It's $99. It comes in one of five colors because Google has discovered that people like colors. It's going to sound better. It's $99. It does the multi-room audio. It's made of, I think, just about completely recycled materials. Apparently, it can go up to 75% louder than the original Google Home it replaces, with 50% more bass. The enclosure is made of 70% recycled plastic. And of course, like the little wrapping material that kind of like all the Nest have are all recycled as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's $99. It will surely go on sale for Black Friday. So, I mean, it's a good deal right now, but I would wait till Black Friday because you could probably get it for $70 instead and like have two of them. But they do sell them in like different configuration. I'm sorry, different like pairs right now. So like you can go to the Google Store website and they sell like different bundles of them. Like you can buy one and buy like a bundle of two of them, or apparently you can buy 10 at one time.
Why would you buy 10 of these?
Interesting. You can save $20 for every two of them that you buy.
Okay, then.
Yeah, so the more of them that you buy, the more discounts that Google will give you. But I think the new ones also have like Google's new processor that makes the Hey Guillermo commands faster now.
Yeah.
Particularly for like IoT stuff. So they've been making those changes to the Google Home, the Nest Home speakers for a while now. Because that's been like one of the biggest benefits of like HomeKit is like whenever you do anything on the HomePod, it's pretty local.
All right. Well, the Pixel 5 is here. It is $700 and it is their latest flagship. And it's actually kind of a really boring update. They took out a lot of things that didn't work on the 4. Let's see, they got rid of Project Soli, they got rid of Motion Sense, which means it also got rid of the top bezel, because they don't have to have all those sensors in there.
I like that.
It's not running the new Snapdragon 865s. It's actually running the 765s. So it's a last gen processor.
Yeah, theoretically, that should be more energy efficient, hopefully.
In theory. It is water resistant and has 8 gigs of RAM. And new to the Pixel line is wireless and reverse wireless charging.
Yes, that's good. The camera is a widescreen and ultra widescreen. So they actually took out the telephoto from the previous Pixel and subbed in a ultra widescreen. And then for the zoom, they're doing their super zoom software, which worked pretty well on the Pixel 4. So you're not going to get like a 30x zoom, but I think they should be able to replicate like a 10x or 15x zoom.
See, I would rather have a telephoto than an ultra wide.
But you can fake telephoto with computational photography.
I know, but I literally would never use an ultra wide.
You say that until you got it.
No, because like when I have ultra wide on GoPros and I hate it, and I'm always cropping it in.
Yeah, but people like ultra wide, and whenever we're not in COVID, it's good for architecture and group shots and landscapes as well. So
I mean, I get it has its purpose. I just think more people would benefit from an actual telephoto lens than computational photography.
I don't think so. I think if the iPhone 11 is any indication, I think Apple came to the opposite conclusion, and I think Google came to the conclusion that most people having the ultra wide is another tool in your photography utility belt. So
fair enough. I still would much rather have a telephoto.
If I had a choose between the two of them, I'd rather have the ultra wide, just because you can. I have seen the super zoom shots, and they are pretty good actually. So, and I mean, even like going back like 10 years ago with Windows Phone, like the Nokia 1020, it was able to do like a similar technique with, back in the day, I think it had like a 45 megapixel sensor, and it could zoom really well. So, I think for most people, for what they zoom, the computational zoom will be more than enough. So the only thing that would be cool is if like Google like took like a true like 3x or 5x and then add a super zoom to that. That would be kind of cool. But I think that telephoto lens is a little pricey right now. And like I think the whole theme of this new Pixel 5 is to kind of like get the price down.
Maybe. I don't know. Like, I'm kind of glad this is a boring update, because the Pixel line has been traditionally, like, really cool, but always had a fatal flaw. And so I'm thinking maybe the 5 is when they realize, like, hey, maybe we can do this right.
Well, I think the biggest strength of... I hope that they've realized that the biggest strength of, like, the Google hardware, everything from, like, the Nest speaker that we just talked about, to the Home Hub, to this thing, is like the biggest strength is the software. And like I don't think Google can compete with Samsung and Apple on hardware. They're never going to be able to. So like I think they're leaning back into their strengths now, and they're taking kind of pedestrian hardware and making the software so much better.
Mm-hmm.
And like just, you know, little things like not having a Project Soli sensor that makes it more expensive, and having a fingerprint reader that is reliable, being waterproof, and sticking a bigger battery in this thing.
Yeah, they do have a traditional fingerprint sensor, which in era of face masks is a good thing.
Yes, it is waterproof, which is good. I saw Pixel first.
It's not waterproof, it's water resistant. It only has an IP... 8x,
which is, how deep is that, you know?
It's like 12 inches.
So if you drop it in the toilet, you'll be okay, but don't drop it in a pool.
Yeah,
good to know.
Versus like I think like the latest iPhone has like a IP64.
Yeah, You can go swimming with the iPhone. They're like, please don't do that. you'll wear out that seal. I mean, you know what I mean? You'll wear that seal out. But yeah, let's see. Also, some of the software stuff they've added. The front-facing camera gets night sight support now. So if you're like trying to like take a selfie with friends at night, it'll actually look usable. Also, they've added AI-powered portrait light mode that will adjust the lighting in a portrait mode shot, so you can kind of like move your finger around and digitally basically change where the light is coming from. That there's also an extreme battery saver mode that promises to stretch your phone's battery life up to 48 hours. Samsung has that, and I know a lot of people that do use that feature from time to time. I don't know the exact, like, what exactly it cuts off, but I imagine it does a bunch of, like, clocking down the processor and turning off, like, extraneous, like, background applications, and turns off, like, Google Photo backup and stuff like that to try to eke out as much battery as humanly possible.
Yeah.
Let's see. What else? Oh, they have that thing that uses Project Cortex. What is the name of their AI that like answers the phone for you?
I think it's just part of Google Assistant.
Oh, they called it something. Anyway, the Google Assistant will now basically Tango? Hang on.
No, not Tango. No. I don't know. Google has so many weird project names. It's kind of hard to keep them all straight.
Yes. But one of the neatest features with this new phone, that the Pixel 5 is going to be the first one to get it, but it's going to roll down to other Pixel phones, is the ability for the Google Assistant to hang on a hold line for you. So if you've ever called like a Comcast representative or
U.S. Customs,
U.S. Customs, you can click a button in the phone app and your little robot will hang on the line for you. Instead of you having to wait.
Last time I had to call customs, I was on the phone for 4.5 hours.
So yeah, this would have saved you a lot of headache.
Yeah, I can. Can everyone have this feature, please?
Oh, also, we completely forgot to mention this until now. It is a 5G phone. Because everything has to be 5G or it won't be sold in carrier stores right now.
During
the keynote, they also were like, hey, you can use Stadia with 5G and sit in the middle of a park and play a game, which, fair.
Yeah.
Most people who live outside of a big city won't ever get to do that. But it's still exactly. Cool. It works with a millimeter wave 5G, but yeah, I really like this update. I mean, they lower the price down to $700. So that's like a good price for like a middle grade phone. And they're really bringing like a bunch of like unique software features that you can't get on the other Android phones. I mean, it's a clean version of Android. It gets all the updates over 3 years. The camera is a really good experience. It has the Google Assistant, so you can, you know, it's actually like Google's actually like spending time to make it like these phones a better phone, where Samsung and Apple kind of like ignore that. You know what I mean? Like the iPhone today is like only moderately better as a phone than the iPhone was like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
So I mean it's like all the other Google hardware. It's boring, but I think it's the software that really makes this. I mean, that's the reason you would want to buy this phone.
Yeah, I kind of am not really that interested in it. Like, I kind of thought about it for a bit, but I'm not really interested.
Why not?
I want the bleeding edge. Like, I keep going back to, I could put a bunch of money into something bleeding edge tech that no one's seen before. And I think when I upgrade my phone, it's going to be an S20, not a Pixel 5. It's just, it's not, there's not enough wow factor in it for me. And if I'm going to spend I mean, $700, it's cheaper than a $1,000 flagship, but at the same time, it's still a lot of money, and it's not something, it's not like, if I'm spending more than $500 on something, it's, I want it to be all that and shiny, versus this is just kind of shiny.
Well, I mean, this is really competing against like the S20 fan edition at this point. This is kind of like knocked down a tier, because I mean, even the S20 retails were $900.
Yeah.
So I mean, this is kind of like one tier below the Samsung Galaxy S20 line, anyway.
Well, here are my thoughts on that. Like, mm-hmm. if it's less than $500, it's clearly a budget phone at this point. If it's in between $500 and $900. No one really talks about it that much. Like, sure, it's a premium mid-grade or something like that, but after like $400 or $500, no one just goes to the store, here's my credit card, here's $400, give me a phone. You're paying it off over 2 years. And so at that point, what's the difference between $700 and $1,000?
I think it is a big difference to a lot of people. And I think that the mid line of Android and the low end of Android don't get covered nearly as much by the in the U.S. is...
You're right, it doesn't. So, but at the same time...
Like, I think the best-selling iPhone is the 11, not the 11 Pro or the 11 Pro Max, I think.
I mean, and probably.
From what I understand, like, that is the best-selling iPhone by far. And so, like, this is what that is competing against. You know what I mean? This is competing against the mainstream iPhone at this point.
I mean, probably, but... At the same time, like, once you go flagship, you don't really go back.
Oh, I'm the same way. I'm probably going to get the Pro model for the next iPhone, whatever. But for me, like, I'm kind of interested in Android. So, like, this is a really appealing phone. I'm actually looking at this and the S20 Fan Edition. Mm-hmm. I need to, like, compare the specs of them, but I really like the clean Google experience. And I mean,
I really wish I could buy a Samsung hardware, like a phone manufactured by Samsung, but just put flat Google hard software on it. Like, remember back when the Nexus line, when Samsung used to make their phones and then it was a Google OS? Those were the days.
Because you got really nice them.
Hardware. I had two of them.
You mean other manufacturer? I thought you meant the year that they had the Galaxy S5 and the HTC, was it one or something like that?
No. Back in 2012 to like 2014, when mm-hmm. Samsung or LG made the hardware, because you know they're hardware companies, and then it shipped with the Nexus software.
But they always had problems, even with those.
This is true, but they had less problems then than they do now, I think.
I don't know. I feel like the Pixel brand is more true to Google as a company. Yeah, I mean, because, like, Google's kind of a boring hardware company. I mean, their main hardware are, like, the cloud servers that they buy. And they elevate middling hardware, kind of like Chromebooks, into being a really nice experience for most people. Mm-hmm. And like, I think that the mainstream Google, I think you and I are a little out of the mainstream Google user, but maybe. I think that's okay, because like, you and I are still going to run like Linux and Windows and Mac OS, and we're okay with that. But a lot of Google, I mean, a lot of normal people like go home and a Chromebook is plenty of computer for them, for like a home computer, because they have a Windows laptop or a Mac from work. But I mean, that's the neat thing about Google, is like, it doesn't matter if you have like a $250 Chromebook for school or a $3,000 MacBook Pro or Dell XPS 15. Everyone kind of gets the same software. My family loves the Google hardware that they have, the Nest Home Minis that I've gotten them on the Nest Home Hubs. And you look at that hardware, I mean, that is incredibly boring hardware. That hardware
it's so boring. And I think more pros love the software And I would love to see Google cater towards the tech geek.
I'm kind of playing with an article. I haven't fully formed my thought about this, but like I almost wish now that we have the Pixel 4a and the Pixel 5 that there was like a Pixel Pro or a Pixel Fold, you know, or like a Pixel Duo.
Mm-hmm. Like I so want to buy into Google's phones, mm-hmm. but there's always a fatal flaw, or in this case, it's not really a flagship.
No, and it's not trying to be a flagship, and that's okay, but I do wish there was a really high-end Pixel. Like, how cool would it be if there was, like, a Pixel Duo phone that was, like, the Microsoft Duo, but it was made by Google and actually had the Pixel's camera in it, so it wasn't a horrible camera, and then that would force Google to, like, really make Android work really good with, like, dual screens. I think that mm-hmm. would be a fun phone.
That would be. I don't know. I went into watching the keynote expecting the Pixel 5 to be a flagship and then was really disappointed when it wasn't.
See, I was kind of, I feel like Google's always struggled every time they've ever competed with Samsung or, you know, I mean, there are a couple of you can get like a $2,000 Samsung phone and it is the most premium hardware you could possibly imagine. And like,
I think that's why I buy $2,000 premium Samsung phones.
Yeah. But like, I think Google just realized as a company, they cannot compete with that. And I'm kind of okay with them like sticking to their strong suit. And the Pixel 5 is a boring slab of glass. And
it's not even glass. Half of it's plastic.
Oh, half of it's glass, half of it. I mean, you know what I mean? It is a it is a conduit to Google services. that is mainly what this phone is.
This is so true. I don't know. I was just disappointed. I thought it was going to be a flagship.
See, I went into it thinking it would not be a flagship, so I was not disappointed. I'm kind of looking for a middling Google phone, I mean an Android phone, to kind of be able to tinker with Android, but I don't want to drop like $1,200.
Fair enough.
I drop $1,200, you know what I mean? I buy a really expensive like iPhone, but anyway.
Come to the dark side. We have customization that's not janky.
I know, but security.
Fair. Well, Google Recorder is secure because it does all of its processing on the device, not in the cloud. And it just got a new update that can do audio editing on device. Which
sounds boring, but you actually select the text that it has generated and you can delete that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is actually really cool. You use it offline, and it's coming to all Pixel phones from the 2 and up.
Oh, really? I didn't know it went all the way back down to the 2.
Yeah, it's going all the way down to the 2.
Hmm. Very cool. AR and Google Maps.
Yeah, it's going to use AR to show landmarks to help you orient. So I love this. I am not a street signs person. When I drive, like I cannot tell you to this day how to get from my house to school by street names. I cannot tell you. I know I go left and then I go right at the circle and I turn left at the sign which has a giant Texas flag on it and keep going until I hit the weird lights.
Like, a giant Texas flag can also describe a million blocks in Texas.
Okay, but I don't know. I am a landmark person. I do not remember street signs for the life of me.
Well, have you gotten to use the AR stuff in Google Maps? Or I mean, I feel like all of that hit whenever COVID hit, so people haven't gotten to really use it very much.
Yeah, and I was really excited about it because I had like 8 different trips scheduled and then COVID.
So maybe next year you will be able to use this really cool. See, it's like a 3D Google like pen, but like I really like the Fox that they demoed 2 years ago. I thought that was whimsical and fun. Mm-hmm. And I wish they would bring the Fox back because I thought the Fox was pretty cool.
And then
this is more utilitarian and boring, but
all right. So It's in 25 cities, so things like the Empire State Building or the Pantheon in Rome, and other easily recognized places to help people, mostly tourists, get around.
Oh, very cool. G Suite Stream now allows personal Google accounts to, personal Google accounts to sync drives of their Mac or PCs.
Finally.
So, explain this feature to me as someone who doesn't regularly live in the G Suite land.
Okay, so with backup and sync, you could do the thing where you've got the offline edit, and you could do it on your computer, and it's on the device, but it's really in the cloud, and it syncs it all the time, and it's really cool. But you had to do the entire thing, and it just took up so much space. And it was only available for G Suite. Now you can do it personally, and you can do it with selected files and folders.
Oh, okay. OneDrive has had this feature for a few years now.
I know.
And so has iCloud. Mm-hmm. And like, that's actually, over the last year, I've pretty much migrated like all of my Windows users over to this, the OneDrive backup and this feature, because like, and now I'm working on like Intune integration, which means Intune is our mobile device manager. So like, I've set up with this like nearline storage feature on Windows machines. Like someone can log into a new Windows machine in my organization now, and they have instant access to all of their files because of this feature.
Mm-hmm.
It's so cool. So I'm happy that like happy G Suite users are finally getting access to this.
All right, so there is a new XPS 13.
Oh, sorry, I just opened up the Google Drive app on my iPhone, and it is very different now. I think I finally got that update we talked about a long time ago.
Mm.
I kind of like it. Anyway, nearline storage, it's great. You should use it. It saves a lot of local space, too.
Okay, so new XPS 13s. Nothing really interesting. It's just spec bumps and the new Tiger Lake processors.
Ah, but they're also getting Thunderbolt 4 and more RAM.
Meh.
So, I like the XPS 13 a whole bunch. So,
But the main reason I actually included this story is not because of the normal spec bump. It's because there is a developer edition of the 2013, which automatically ships with Ubuntu 20.04.
They've been doing this for like 8 years now.
No, but it automatically ships with it. Not you have to sideload it.
No, they've had developer editions of numerous XPS computers for like 8 years now.
Hmm.
The bigger news is this month Lenovo is doing that now. That if you want to get Linux on a ThinkPad, you can do that.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. Sorry, I didn't mean to like roll over you, steamroll you with like sysadmin.
Well, in that case, you should have just removed the story.
Sorry, but if you want to get Linux, on a ThinkPad, you can do that now. That's not in the story, but.
Oh. I don't know. I put dual boot Linux on my laptop last week.
It's fine.
Linux is starting to call to me.
You know, some people just have children, Devin. But,
See, this is my response to I'm 24 and everyone on my Instagram feed is getting married and getting pregnant. I'm going to learn a new operating system.
Yes, because... That's normal. We are sad people. Anyway, I don't know what I mean. Collectively as geeks.
Speak for yourself. I am rapidly moving towards Arch Linux.
Okay. Well, you have fun with that. I think everyone goes through a wild and crazy like Linux phase of their life. And you do you, and you live that life. Just... Oh, we completely forgot it.
Sudo apt all the things.
I don't know how we forgot it. I forgot to include the story, the new Chromecast with Google TV.
We didn't forget it. We skipped it over it.
Oh, I think we've talked about it like five different times before this. But anyway, it's finally available. So it is a $50 Chromecast dongle that runs Google TV. It's got a physical remote, physical Google Assistant button. It integrates nicely with like YouTube TV. It's Android TV on a stick for $50. So I will be buying several of these for Christmas for family members.
I like the concept of it. And if I was getting a new TV or I didn't have a Chromecast already, I would totally get it. But I already have a Chromecast, and yes, it's 5 years old, but it still works like a charm.
Well, but the cool thing about the Chromecast is, like, you could get this thing, and you could still use the Chromecast somewhere else.
I don't have any other TVs.
You'd have it as a travel Chromecast that if you plug into, like, a hotel room TV, you got a Chromecast.
I have a travel Chromecast already.
Oh, gosh. Of course you do. Anyway, I will be buying several of these for family members. Well, that was the first gen. That's a long time ago, Devin.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
It does come in three different colors, which at first I was like, who cares that it's in three different colors? But then I realized that the remotes match. So it's really the remote that you're getting the color of. You're never going to see the actual Chromecast Google TV. But yeah, it does 4K HDR. I think it will support Stadia. So like if you buy one of these in like a Stadia controller, it's going to make a nice little $100 video game console in the future. I think these will be wildly popular for Christmas, especially because like they are taking the Chromecast that you know and love right now and adding a remote to it and apps. And I think people are going to love this thing. So. And of course, it's still a Chromecast. The cool thing, my family will love this in this, they have a more prominent Google Photos, like Google Photo Frame feature. Because, like, you can turn that on with a Chromecast, but it's kind of hard to find. That basically turns your TV into, like, a Google Nest Hub.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be a little bit more prominent. My only thing is I hope that like I get some of these features because I have an Android TV and Google's been like very nebulous about like what they're going to do with Android TV in my, you know, $500 Sony TV. I don't know if I'm going to be getting some of these features. Anyway, also if you have, YouTube TV, they actually have like a little live section that pulls up like the live TV guide as well. So the little remote itself, not only does it have a Google Assistant button, but it has a Netflix button and a YouTube button. And you can actually map the YouTube button to either YouTube TV or to normal YouTube.
Interesting.
Yeah, so apparently it uses like some of the Google Knowledge Graph too. So like... it can also help like recommend TV shows. And if you ever do a Google search and you've ever seen that little button that's like add to watch list, now that button does something. It does something and it adds it to your Google TV. So, and I think this supports multi-user. So, you know, I mean, if you have, I mean, you got most people have multiple family members, but different family members can log into it. And their Google content will show up appropriately. Yes. But it's just normal Android TV. So, I mean, it supports like Spotify. It has like a really nice Spotify app, an HBO Max app, a Disney Plus app. So, and then, I mean, they have that little, the coolest thing about like Android TV, the current implementation of it is like, it aggregates content from all the separate apps. And you don't necessarily have to like, jump between different apps. Like if you've been watching a TV show and then like a new one comes out, it'll just like add it to your main queue and you can click on it and it launches the app for you. I think that's going to be one of the biggest benefits for most people over just a Chromecast is you don't have to do like different apps. You don't have to like hop between like five different applications on your phone, if that makes sense.
Fair enough.
It kind of like aggregates into like one like dedicated TV view. So
all right, anyway, well,
I'm very excited about this. It's Christmas. I'm looking forward to getting these for family members for Christmas. So,
see, and I think I'm the only one who would prefer it without a remote.
Don't have to use the remote. You could stick the remote.
Like, literally, if I bought this thing, I would just, like, put the remote in a drawer and keep using my phone.
Yeah, I mean, there's an Android TV remote app, too, if you wanted to, like, navigate the interface with just your phone, so.
All right, well, on to Microsoft Land, because there was also a short Microsoft event this week.
Yeah, which I think was it 15 minutes or was it 30? It was,
like, 15 minutes.
Okay, because, like, I felt like it wasn't as long.
Because I actually watched this event, and it was, like, 15 minutes.
It was very short, and they just, like, dropped it.
Yeah. So it has the new Surface Go, which is a $550 laptop, which is a direct Chromebook competitor.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a Surface laptop, but it's smaller and it's lighter.
Mm-hmm.
It's 12 inches and, yeah, it's a tiny laptop.
Yeah, it's a small laptop. This
literally looks like it's meant to go in a classroom.
Yeah, like, and schools are going to get probably discounts on these things as well. Mm-hmm. You buy a laptop, a card of them, and they're gonna knock off $50 or, you know, I mean.
But it does have unlike Windows, the Go, it's running full Windows and it has an i5.
Does it run full Windows? I thought the baseline came with S mode turned on.
Oh, well, I still consider that full Windows.
Well, it is. It's literally just like a setting that you like turn off now and then mm-hmm. reboot and you got full Windows. So yeah, you're right.
And it also has an integrated fingerprint reader in one of the keys.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, no Windows Hello camera, but it does have the Windows Hello fingerprint reader, which is cool. You can get a more powerful version of this. You can get one that has 8 gigs of RAM and 128 gig SSD. Up to 256 gigs, which it tops out at $900. So, I think this is like going to be a great little computer for like middle schools and high school students.
See, I could also see this being just a great like personal computer for people at home just because it's full Windows so you can run apps, but it also doesn't look like a clunky middle school computer. It actually does look like a premium Surface, like all the other $1,000+ Surfaces. Sure. And it's not going to hold you back with ports because it actually has a regular USB-A and a headphone jack and a SD card reader.
Oh, nice. Yeah, like really, the school edition is the 551, which only has 4 gigs of RAM, which I'm a little worried about. But for like school work, that's probably fine for like a kid.
Mm-hmm.
For like a home device, you can, for $150 more, you can get 8 gigs of RAM with 256 gigs of SSD storage. And like really, kind of like we were talking in the previous segment, like most people use either OneDrive or Google Drive or Dropbox storage now with mm-hmm. the nearline storage. So like, a few years ago, I would have been like more worried about only having 64 gigs or 128 gigs of storage on the Windows machine. But now, that's really just like offline storage, and most people don't even use the computer if it's not connected to the internet. To be honest with you,
yeah. Though so, eMMC storage, why is that still a thing?
It's to get the price down for schools. So
true.
Oh. And really, like, a school, I mean, for, like, school computers, those are just going to be, you know, I mean, you're not running CAD on this laptop.
This is true.
I could also, it also supports Wi-Fi 6, and it also supports fast charging. I missed that, too.
All right, so the Pro X is also here. It's a second Pro X, which does not run full Windows. This runs ARM.
No, it does run full Windows.
No, this one's ARM-based.
That is full Windows. Because there's a update coming to Windows that will allow the... that is full Windows. It's ARM Windows. Yeah, it's Windows on ARM. It is, that is full Windows.
Mm. And I don't consider it full Windows because there's no X64 apps.
It does have X64-bit app support. It's getting into November.
Are you sure?
Yep, I'm sure. I think I'm like 90% it's November or December. That I think next month it's going to be in the fast ring for Windows 10. So probably by the end of the year, early next year, this machine will be able to run 64-bit apps. Which will make it infinitely more useful.
Okay.
We may buy one at work. I'm going to be buying a Surface Laptop Go for work as just to test them as like loaner laptops for a loaner laptop program.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a candidate for some leadership's laptops, the Surface Pro X. But like you said, like my biggest hang up with the Pro X line was like the hardware is beautiful. But and yeah, I mean, it has like LTE built into it and the Surface Pen is really cool, but like not being able to run 64-bit apps was like really killer. So this new one has how was it, two USB type C ports, and it will run 64-bit apps via Windows on ARM later in the year. So
all right, and more excitingly, Microsoft has new accessories, and I really want the number pad.
They make some really nice accessories these days.
Yeah, so they've got their designer compact keyboard, which is looks kind of like, it literally almost looks exactly like the iMac Magic Keyboard,
mm-hmm.
which can switch between three devices and up to 2 years battery life, which is $70 and comes in black and white. The number pad, which has similar design elements, and it is only $25, and I will be purchasing one of these because OEMs can consistently think that it's okay to get rid of 10 key.
Well, and I like it because they're definitely like meant to be used in a pair. Because like if you look at the designer compact keyboard and the mouse, I'm sorry, the number pad, the Windows logo is on the number pad but not on the keyboard. So like I was like, oh no, please don't tell me there are going to be two Windows logos, and they didn't. I was like, oh, that's very clever. Anyway, that's a nice design. But yeah, wireless number pad and wireless
It's only $25. I'm going to buy one of these. I wish my laptop had a 10 key.
Well, this is perfect for you then. And I think it's, I mean, these are actually hard to find. These like wireless.
They're 25. And like, that's the only reason I haven't bought one, because all the ones on Amazon are like either really expensive
or really sketchy.
Yeah, really sketchy. And it's Bluetooth, like this, so you don't have to take up one of your very valuable ports.
I'm sure.
I'm actually going to buy two of these so I can have one in my backpack and one on my desk.
This may be a nice little streaming keyboard as well. But
I wonder if I can convert it into a Stream Deck.
Maybe with some stickers and some reprogramming. There's probably like
key map. I'm sure I can hack this with a key mapper.
Yeah, I mean, you just have to specify, but yeah, you can probably remap those keys to be a Stream Deck. I wonder if you could do like two of them, build like a, you know what I mean, like a little Stream Deck board with multiple of them.
Yeah, so, I'm going to get one.
They also announced a Surface Bluetooth ergonomic mouse in various colors, which is, this is like a cheaper version of their Precision mouse. Also, they've introduced the really flat Microsoft Mobile mouse in new colors. They're fine. I wouldn't use one because I like big mat. I have two separate mice.
Mm-hmm.
But I have a mouse at work and I have a mouse at my office, I'm sorry, at home. So like I just have two separate full size mice, but these are actually really popular at work and people like the colors.
The flat ones or the ergonomic ones?
The flat ones, because people like the clicky scroll wheel, and they're really we use the bigger ones, the slightly bigger ones that are a little bit more form-fitting, but mm-hmm. I have bought these as well. But the Microsoft mice are they do like the fast pair, which is really cool. Mm-hmm. And they're really responsive over Bluetooth. So if you're considering a mouse, like really look at the Microsoft stuff, because like the new stuff is really responsive, integrates deeply with Windows, and they have a lot of form factors and colors now. And for $30 for a Bluetooth mouse in a color of your choosing, I want to use this as like my primary mouse. But like if you just need something to throw in your book bag and you don't want to use like a trackpad, I think this mm-hmm. is a good solution.
All right, so NASA has a new microgravity toilet, which is really cool.
Sing to me the stories about these microgravity toilets and why this one is new and improved.
Okay, so the old Universal Waste Management System up at the ISS was built in like, I think the 80s or the 90s, where it was predominantly men going to space. And so they are designed for the male anatomy. And when we started sending more women up to space, that was a small problem.
Houston, that was a problem.
Yeah, that was a problem. And so they set out to design a new space toilet. And $23 million later, we have a new space toilet. So this one is smaller and lighter than the old toilet as well. So it is easier to and less expensive to send to space, because actually sending stuff to space is expensive. There's two of them. One is going up this week, and then and the other one will go in the NASA Deep Space Orion. But yeah, it is 65% smaller, 40% lighter, and it's just been optimized a bunch, and it has attachments so that it is more contoured towards the female anatomy.
Good.
And another thing is like parts of it were 3D printed out of Inconel, which is like a really rare metal.
So
it's a $23 million toilet that I totally spent like 2.5 hours researching the other day instead of doing lesson plans. It's really cool. Or is this just like LiDAR and nobody else cares?
No. Space toilets. I just have a limited interest in space toilets. I think they're cool, like any other space technology, but like cool.
not a 2.5 hour like hyper focused fueled binge research project for you.
No, I mean,
I literally spent 2.5 hours.
30 minutes would be like a good amount of time, but 2.5 hours in space toilets?
I literally spent 2.5 hours researching the technology on how the space toilet works.
There's
a webinar I could point you to for one of the engineers that talks about it.
But in your defense, like toilets have been optimized for men for like 40 years now. So this is a breakthrough for you. So
yeah. And so this toilet will be installed next to one of the old toilets on board. And then the astronauts will quote unquote beta test it for the next 3 months. And then eventually it'll just become another restroom option on the spacecraft.
The idea of beta testing a toilet in zero gravity if something goes wrong just sounds very unpleasant.
I mean, okay, they did a bunch of testing on the Earth, and they did as much simulation as they can. But there's no way to fully test how it's going to work in microgravity.
Yes. I agree. Okay, speaking
of alternative... I could go into the details of the physics. I learned a lot.
No, let's save the listeners. Fair enough. Other educational information, Amazon has a solution for you. What is this
It's not about toilets. So it's virtual sightseeing tours to talk about, and it's led by tour guides or personal shoppers or other instructors on these one-on-one video stream sessions. And it's two-way audio, so you can ask questions and make requests. So you could do like a 10-minute or a $10, 40-minute virtual shopping center, or like a $70, 45-minute tour of a Peru in Peru.
Oh, man, sorry.
There's also a $130 bagel cooking class.
Interesting. Doesn't Facebook Market have something like this?
I don't know.
Or like Facebook have like something kind of similar that you can like stream events like this now?
I don't know. This reminds me of like ClassPass or MasterClass more.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Very cool. And it's amazon.com/explore.
I think so. Yes. Hi.
Hey. Someone's looking for snacks. All right, let's do this last two stories, and then I can give my cat some snacks because it's already time for his midnight snacks.
Okay, so Apple TV finally has YouTube 4K.
Mm-hmm. Finally. I got it this week, and it is very nice. So I can now watch all those MKVHD videos in crispy 4K. Just as he's starting to put out 8K. and eventually that will be coming to iPhone and iPad as well. HDR at 60 frames per second is in the works. So, because, you know, I think Apple gave up. Started supporting Google's weird format that no one really got onto, but I think that they just got tired. Come on, cat. Shit. Get your butt out of the microphone. So you got a cool robot of the week?
I do have a cool robot of the week. So Toyota's building a prototype robot that is built in with the house. And instead of being on the floor, it's on tracks on the ceiling. Not going to lie, robots take up a lot of room. And putting them on the ceiling is actually kind of a really cool idea.
Surprised no one's thought about doing this until now.
I know. So essentially, this is meant for the older generation. It'll supposedly do things around the home, like picking things up and putting dishes away and cleaning. But instead of like accidentally running into it and falling over, the robot arm can just fold up and be on the ceiling when it's not in use. And so the limited floor space isn't going to be a problem. Your pets aren't going to run into it. Kids aren't going to run into it. And it's hanging from the ceiling now. They're also working on a similar concept on wheels that will be on the floor, but the gantry robot's really cool. But the really cool part is that the gripper is called a soft bubble gripper, and it's like fingers have like padded air pockets on it. So it's it's a hybrid of traditional robots and soft robotics. So it can pick things up more gently than a traditional gripper would.
Oh, like dishes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's still very much a prototype, but still a cool robot.
Very cool. Oh, all right. So, what is your pick of the week? Ooh, sorry.
All right. My pick of the week is Fall Guys. I'm kind of mildly obsessed with it. I've been doing a lot of streaming lately, and through streaming, I've kind of been forced into PC gaming to the point where I almost want to build a gaming PC.
I see some PlayStation 4. Does it support crossplay?
It does not.
Ah, dang it. Okay, never mind. I was like, maybe I could play it. No.
And it's $20 and it's really fun. You just run through all these obstacles and essentially race.
So it's like Ninja Warrior but with Baymax.
Pretty much.
Ninja Warrior with Baymax in various costumes.
Yes.
I've seen it like take over my Twitter, my social media streams, so it looks
fun.
It's
a great game and it's only $20. You can play with friends, you can play with randoms. It's great.
Oh, very nice. So my pick of the week is actually a WatchOS 7 feature that I didn't think I would like. And whenever we watched Apple's keynote last month, I thought, that's really dumb. I'm never going to use this feature. But I've kind of fallen in love with the emoji watch face. Because they demoed the emoji watch face with like, hey, you could have your emoji, like your face emoji on your watch face. And I'm like, oh, that's dumb. Who wants like a virtual representation of themselves on their wrist? But what they didn't mention in the keynote was you can do the 3D emoji. So like I have a robot on my wrist and he animates. And I go back and forth with the robot. And I also use the dinosaur. And it's just a fun digital watch face. And it's basically the face that I use whenever I get off of work. But it's 3D, it's animated, they're fun. They support a wide variety of 3D emojis now. Mm-hmm. And all you have to have is a Series 4 or up and WatchOS 7. It's a free update, so cool. You can get that right now for free.
So. All right, Hoey, where can we find you on the internet?
You can find me on all the social things, Medium, Instagram, and Twitter at Hobie Henning.
All right, and you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at DevinJCR. And if you're interested into 3D printing and a little bit of gaming, follow me on Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram. YouTube, Instagram, and Twitch at Devin, Designs by Devin. With that, we hope you enjoyed the show. We'll be back next week with a fun update. And until then, stay safe, wash your hands, wear masks in public, and stay curious.